This is Jay Sekulow. You're speaking out, and so is the UN, in the case involving Meriem Ebrahim.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Yesterday at the State Department, they were asked if they'd received a letter from Senator Ayotte and I on Meriem Ebrahim, who's being held in prison in Sudan. And that really, they had no idea, even though they'd had the letter for 4 days, and we got the receipt, they had the letter for 4 days.
I'm wondering if you have any update on the letter that was sent by Senators Blunt and Ayotte to Secretary Kerry, specifically asking for asylum to be considered and possibly granted. Is that under review?
I'm aware of the letter. I'm not sure if we've received it yet.
The problem is nobody has responded. This is a woman who, one of her sentences in Sudan is to be flogged for marrying a non-Muslim. And the second after they flog her is to hang her for refusing to renounce her Christian faith. We don't seem to be concerned about that.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Morningstar News reported that Daniel Wani said U.S. Embassy officials in Khartoum have told him he must prove he is a father with a DNA test before they would try to help. They quote him as saying, "I will have to take a DNA sample in Khartoum and send it to the USA for testing. I provided wedding documents and the baby's birth certificate, and doors were closed on his face." He continues to say, "I've tried to apply for papers to travel to the USA with my wife and child, but the American Embassy in Sudan did not help me." Is Meriem Ebrahim's husband, Daniel Wani, a U.S. citizen? And is that 20-month-old boy in prison by virtue of being his son also a U.S. citizen?
Well, I don't have any more details on this than what the statement the White House put out.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We've got some breaking developments on the situation with Meriem Ebrahim. If you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Here's what's happened. A group of UN, United Nations human rights experts, these are called rapporteurs, on Monday expressed, and we just got this reported just the other day, expressed their concern and alarm over Meriem Ebrahim's incarceration and death sentence. They said, this is what the UN experts said, this is outrageous. This conviction must be overturned and Mrs. Ebrahim must be immediately released. The human rights experts pointed out that the right to marry and found a family is a fundamental right. By the way, this wasn't just the religious freedom human rights rapporteur. This was the rapporteur in charge with violence against women, those that are involved in fundamental rights, a number of various UN organizations and their spokespersons have now publicly identified with this case, as have, I'm happy to report, 200,000 of you. But our State Department response, then, has been ridiculous even after the letter from Senator Blunt and Senator Ayotte.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, this is a positive development coming out of the United Nations. And, Jay, this is why we engage the United Nations so aggressively. You have to take advantage of every option that you have in these cases. But how sad is it that our foreign policy in the United States right now is so timid and so weak that the United Nations actually comes out stronger than the United States when you're talking about an American citizen? That's what happened here. We can read these letters from Senator Blunt, but basically what happened, Jay, 5 days ago, they sent a letter to the State Department. The State Department's response to the Senate, well, Department of Homeland Security handles that. So they just passed it off. They just ignore it. The United Nations, Jay, is coming to the defense of this woman stronger than the United States.
When I play for you after the break, this State Department statement, it'll be self-explanatory of what the problem is at the State Department. Let me just read you the last line. "We call on the Sudanese legal authorities to approach this case with compassion that is in keeping with the values of the Sudanese people. She's been sentenced for 100 lashes and death by hanging. And her 20-month-old American son is in the jail with her." If you want to talk to me on air, 1-800-684-3110. But I do want you to take action. Our State Department's not, but we will. The UN is. We will. 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to this petition for Meriem. Over 200,000 have. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. Either one or 1-877-989-2255. Her 20-month-old American son, Martin, is in that jail. Speak out now. 877-989-2255.
It's a disturbing story that's gaining international attention. A judge in Sudan has sentenced Miriam Ibrahim to be tortured and executed. Her only crime? Her Christian faith. Born to a Christian mother and a Muslim father who abandoned her, Miriam was raised Christian. But the government of Sudan does not recognize her faith. In their eyes, she's a criminal. The Sudanese judge gave her 3 days to recant her faith, to reject her Christian beliefs. She refused. Miriam is pregnant, and her husband is an American citizen. After she gives birth, Sudan will punish her with 100 lashes, then kill her. Time is of the essence. The ACLJ is mobilizing its international resources for Miriam. Add your name to the letter that we'll deliver to the government of Sudan. Be heard for Miriam. Online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. I'm going to play for you a statement from the State Department, then I'm going to ask for your reaction to this to our listening audience. If you want to get in on this conversation, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. When I play this for you, then I'm going to tell you what we have to do. Because this is the State Department spokesperson yesterday. Take a listen.
We are deeply disturbed by the decision by a Sudanese judge to sentence a 27-year-old Miriam Ibrahim to death by hanging after she refused to recant her Christian faith and declare herself a Muslim. She was also sentenced to 100 lashes for the charge of adultery. We call on the government of Sudan to respect the right to freedom of religion, including one's right to change one's faith or beliefs, a right which is enshrined in international human rights law, as well as in Sudan's own 2005 interim constitution. We call on Sudanese legal authorities to approach this case with the compassion that is in keeping with the values of the Sudanese people.
Give me a break. I mean, is that the best the United States government can come up with? Because I want to paint this picture for our listening audience here. A 20-month-old toddler, and a lot of you are grandparents out there, a 20-month-old toddler, American citizen, his name is Martin. His mother is Miriam Ibrahim. His father is an American, thus he is an American. He is in the jail cell with his mother, who is shackled, awaiting the execution sentence. And if that woman is executed, the child is not going back to the father. The child, understand this, goes to the Islamic cleric of the government's choice. Miriam Ibrahim was raised a Christian. She is a medical doctor. Her crime is she is a Christian, and when she was asked to recount her faith, she said, I cannot and I will not. So I'm asking everyone that's listening to this broadcast right now to do two things. If you want to talk to me on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. But everybody else, we're at 200,000. The UN's starting to speak out. Let's get up to 250,000. I know we're coming into the holiday weekends here. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. I want you to think about this 20-month-old child, toddler, in a cell in Sudan with his mother. If you're a parent, or like me, a parent and a grandparent, just think about that for a moment. And our government's answer is, we call on the Sudanese legal authorities to approach this case with compassion. How about we're going to cut off your oil, we're going to get our
are sanctions against you that's going to strangle your unlawful government. You've been indicted by the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Do we really think that a statement of showing compassion? But the UN's demanding a release, but not so much the United States. If you want to speak out on this, go to ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. You can sign the petition there. Over 200,000 have. You could also call us at 1-877-989-2255. I want you to be thinking about 20-month-old Martin in that jail right now with his mother in Sudan because they're Christians. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. Either one or 1-877-989-2255. Fan, the outrage on this is unbelievable. We've already gone to work at the UN. We've gotten results there. We've gotten results out of the House and Senate. But it is the State Department. The president has to speak out on this.
Jay, the first principle of our foreign policy has to be that we come to the aid of our citizens. Everything else, whether it's nuclear deals or other international deals, everything else has to come second. This is not just up to the Sudanese government because Miriam is Sudanese. This is up to the United States government because that 20-month-old named Martin is a U.S. citizen. And by the way, Jay, there's about to be another U.S. citizen. As soon as that next baby is born, there are going to be two citizens at stake.
She's
here.
She's pregnant. I should have pointed that out again. She's pregnant right now. That's right. 8 months. As soon as she's done, by the way, is when they're going to do the execution.
Yeah, and ironically, the Sudanese government actually recognizes the life of that child while maybe our government doesn't. That's sort of a separate point. But let me say this. Senator Blunt and Senator Ayotte, they told the State Department about this 5 days ago. They knew about Martin's citizenship. They did nothing about it. And when they were
let me play that soundbite right now, because, Than, I didn't want to cut you off there, but you said that Senator Blunt, Senator Ayotte brought it up. Here's what Senator Blunt said yesterday in a press briefing.
Yesterday at the State Department, they were asked if they'd received a letter from Senator Ayotte and I on Miriam Ibrahim, who's being held in prison in Sudan. And that really, they had no idea, even though they'd had the letter for 4 days and we got the receipt, they had the letter for 4 days. The problem is nobody is responsible. This is a woman who, one of her sentences in Sudan is to be flogged for marrying a non-Muslim. And the second after they flog her is to hang her for refusing to renounce her Christian faith. We don't seem to be concerned about that.
So we've got UN officials saying this is outrageous, the conviction must be overturned, and Miss Ibrahim must be immediately released. And what does our United States State Department say? Please exercise this case with compassion. So our State Department right now is not speaking out. But you know what? If 200,000 or 300,000 of you speak out, or maybe 500,000, or maybe a million, this American citizen, 20-month-old, I'm focusing on the young boy today, the son. Just maybe our State Department will take direct action here. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. That's ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. Let's go to a phone call, Than.
Yeah, let's go ahead and go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to start on line three with Scott calling from Washington. Scott, you're on the air.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, what happened to back in the 80s and the 90s when we used to send in teams of special forces?
Like extraction teams. It's a whole new ball game now, and the difficulty is here, the way these prisons are set up, you don't know what prison she's going to be in. The government, our government doesn't have the capabilities. I mean, remember that whole Entebbe raid that the Israelis pulled off to get those hostages out. Here the government is, our government's just being tepid. If there is global pressure, remember what happened in Youssef Nardakhani's case. This was in Iran. He was sentenced to death also by hanging because he was a Christian and he was running a church. And what happened in that case? The international pressure was so large that they ended up letting him go. That is my hope here. They let him go there, and that the international pressure happens and it becomes so great that they let him go. Now, the Sudanese are no better than the Iranians on this. I mean, you know the situation with Saeed Abedini back in prison after he was in the hospital. That was a horrible development in that case. But you've got this is kind of happening simultaneously right now. The question, I think, Than, is in Washington, what politically can the president do if he was so inclined? I mean, what kind of sanctions, what can be done to really put pressure on the Sudanese here?
Well, I think the difference between Iran and Sudan, Jay, is that Sudan really does need the United States. I mean, it's not a whole lot of aid, but they are not nearly as sophisticated as the Iranians are. They really need the United States to be on their side in this case. And by the way, I think for what the president should do, we should just look to the Democrats in the Senate. This has been very bipartisan in the Senate. In fact, the resolution that was put forward was sponsored by two Republicans, Senator Rubio and Inhofe, and two Democrats, Senator Coons and Senator Menendez. So this is not a partisan issue. What the president should do is he should directly contact the Sudanese and say, you send my citizens home. And by the way, there's another piece of legislation that's going to be introduced soon, Jay. It's going to be introduced by Senator Cruz. It's going to call for asylum for not only the U.S. citizens, but also for Miriam herself. The president should be out front advocating that piece of legislation
because
now.
Because the husband said he tried to get asylum and was unable to get it through the State Department. So there you have it. 1-800-684-3110 is the number if you want to talk to us on air. Let's grab one more call before the break.
All right, let's go to line one. Dominic is calling from New York. Dominic, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Dominic.
Thank you. Jay, I'm looking at this a little more spiritual. Thou shalt not kill would be what they would do to the child in the womb. And then the other child that's already been born, they're going to want to steal that child. So thou shalt not steal, that's kidnapping.
Well, as far as violating the Ten Commandments, trust me, the Sudanese government violates all ten. As you can't even imagine the oppression in there. But this is the son, and this is what I want people to focus on as we go to a break. The 20-month-old, I'm going to give you his name. His name is Martin. That 20-month-old is an American citizen. His father's an American. He's an American citizen. The child that Miriam is carrying right now is an American citizen as well. So what's our job? Our job is to speak out for those who cannot speak out for themselves. This is the United States' failure to respond right now. We've got to get the United States to put pressure on it. We've got to get international outcry at a whole different level. I was talking to some of our video and media teams about building a montage of video. But there's not a lot of video with this family, so it's different than the Syed Abedini case. But, folks, it's a 20-month-old toddler named Martin in the jail with his mother. His mother's shackled and pregnant. Her crime is she's a Christian. Are we going to tolerate it? Answer no. We're going to speak out. Over 200,000 of you have. If I add the phone calls to this, I'm sure we're approaching 210,000 signatures. I want to get to 250,000 through the weekend and early next week. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. I'm urging you to take action right now and sign this petition at BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. It's 877-989-2255, ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. Back with more in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. It's a disturbing story that's gaining international attention. A judge in Sudan has sentenced Miriam Ibrahim to be tortured and executed. Her only crime? Her Christian faith. Born to a Christian mother and a Muslim father who abandoned her, Miriam was raised Christian. But the government of Sudan does not recognize her faith. In their eyes, she's a criminal. The Sudanese judge gave her 3 days to recant her faith, to reject her Christian beliefs. She refused. Miriam is pregnant, and her husband is an American citizen. After she gives birth, Sudan will punish her with 100 lashes, then kill her. Time is of the essence. The ACLJ is mobilizing its international resources for Miriam. Add your name to the letter that we'll deliver to the government of Sudan. Be Heard for Miriam, online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. I mean, let me play for you again Senator Blunt's statement at the news conference yesterday. Focuses in on the toddler. I think that's where the focus should be today. Take a listen.
She and her toddler son are in a prison cell right now, waiting for the baby to be born so the mother can be killed. And nobody in our government appears to want to say anything about it. It's outrageous, just like the Iranian prisoners are outrageous who were over there and imprisoned for faith. And we have vacancies at the State Department and the jobs that are supposed to be focused on these things, and we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Senator Blunt is absolutely correct, and I will tell you that this means we need to fight back again. BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Let's go to Marlene calling from New York on line 6. Marlene, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. You're on the air. You got to turn your radio down so we can talk to you here. Okay? I'll tell you what. We'll come back to you. I hear that radio in the background, and you're getting a delay. Let's go to Robert in Montana. Hi, Robert.
Thank you very much, you guys, for making this known so well. Last night we prayed about it in our church. I brought it up, and I just want to encourage everybody all around America to please just bring it to your church. Offer it up in prayer. You know, I am so for you guys and for everything you're doing, and I just want to say thank you. That's all. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you bringing it up to your church. That's going to be a big part of this, as it always is. You look at the situation, and, you know, you're not going to get justice in the Sudanese legal system. I mean, that's just not going to happen. It's really a question of the kind of pressure that we can bring on this right now, and we're trying to do it. And, folks, that's where you come in. And, again, I want you to be thinking about the 20-month-old Martin in that jail right now. And take action at BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Marlene, let's go back to Marlene. Try this again. Marlene, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to understand why their incident in the first place, like Saeed Abedini had a purpose. He went there to build the
yeah. Office. No, it's a great question. Why? There's first of all, they're Sudanese. There's a war that's been developed, and you know, there's been a struggle between Sudan and South Sudan. Sudan is the more Muslim dominant country. South Sudan is primarily Christian. The husband and wife were Sudanese. He was an American also. He had gotten asylum several years back. She's a medical doctor. So what was she doing in Sudan? Giving medical relief to her family, friends, and people in Sudan. She's married. She had a child. She already has one, Martin. He's aged 20 months. This is where they're called to be. This is their home. He happens to be the husband, an American citizen, which makes the child an American citizen. And our government's not reacting. So they were in Sudan. She's a medical doctor helping people in her own country. And for that, she was picked up by former family members of hers that are Muslim that turned her in as being an apostate. Why? Because she married a Christian. They claim that because Miriam's father was a Muslim, by the way, father abandoned the family when she was either age 4 or 6. She was raised by an Ethiopian Christian mother who was Orthodox Christian. So she's been raised a Christian. She is a Christian. She's refused to recant her faith. So that's why. Again, folks, speak out on this one. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Then let's take another call.
Yeah, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to line 4. Dawn is calling from Illinois. Dawn, you're on the air.
Hi, Dawn.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hi. I just wanted to make a comment/question. I'm outraged by Lois Lerner and the IRS, the Benghazi and those others that get away with things, tell people to stand down, and the U.S. will not protect a mother, an unborn child, and Martin, all citizens of the United States.
I'm going to play for you again. I want you to hear. I think I got to play this, Don. I got to play it again. I wasn't going to. I'm going to play it again. I want you to hear the State Department's response. It's pathetic. Number 19.
We are deeply disturbed by the decision by a Sudanese judge to sentence.
Okay, first of all, deeply disturbed? This is a little more than deeply disturbed. How about doing what the UN said? This is outrageous. It shouldn't happen. Continue.
27-year-old Miriam Ibrahim to death by hanging.
after she refused to recant her Christian faith and declare herself a Muslim. She was also sentenced to 100 lashes for the charge of adultery. We call on the government of Sudan to respect the right to freedom of religion.
Okay. We call on the government of Sudan to respect the freedom of religion. First of all, let me break it to the State Department. This is not about freedom of religion right now. This is a death penalty case. She's been sentenced to death by hanging after she's flogged 100 times. Then she'll be hung and die and killed by hanging. Why? Yes, because she is a Christian and refused to recant her Christian faith. But to say respect religious freedom, it's way beyond that. Here's the rest of the State Department's.
Including one's right to change one's faith or beliefs.
Which, by the way, when they say that change one's faith or belief, they're playing right into what the Sudanese are arguing. The Sudanese are arguing that she's a convert. She's not. She was raised by a Christian mother. Go ahead.
Which is enshrined in international human rights law, as well as in Sudan's own 2005 interim constitution.
Does anybody believe that the Sudanese are going to comply with international human rights law, or are we the way to get her out and get this child out, and the child that's about to be born out, is going to be international pressure that is voluminous? Here's the last line, which I think is the worst.
We call on Sudanese legal authorities to approach this case with the compassion that is in keeping
you know,
with the values
okay.
of the
compassion,
Sudanese people.
I mean, this is, what are they, Fan, you deal with the state. What are they thinking about?
It's offensive, Jay. I mean, it's clueless. They have no clue how to respond vigorously to a situation like this. It's really like the only diplomatic approach they know is timidity and appeasement. I have to tell you, Jay, we are the strongest nation in the world. The idea that we could have an American citizen that is in jail with his mother, facing you know, her execution and then being turned over to a radical state, and all we can put out is a statement like that, it is offensive. They won't only engage it, Jay, they are walking away from the conversation. If you play some more of that interview, some of the follow-up questions were, can you at least acknowledge the citizenship of the 20-month-old? Their response? We can't respond to that. They won't even acknowledge his citizenship. It's really offensive.
Oh, we had that one the other day. I mean, I think we still have it on some. Here it is. Take a listen.
Miriam Ibrahim's husband, Daniel Wani, a U.S. citizen, and is that 20-month-old boy in prison by virtue of being his son, also a U.S. citizen?
Well, I don't have any more details on this than what the statement the White House put out. Typically, we don't confirm those type of details, but I'm happy to check. And
I'm happy to check. Here it is. So there it is. They won't confirm the citizenship of the kid. Martin is a U.S. citizen. His father is a U.S. citizen. Folks, here's what we need to do. We're going to demand action on this. We've got a lot on our plate internationally right now. I've mobilized our offices around the globe. And by the way, on Saeed Abedini's case right now, we've got our teams in Russia working on it. Believe me, we've got lawyers and government affairs people working on this around the globe. Miriam Ibrahim, too. You got to do more than one case at a time here, and we're doing just that. Here's what I need you to do. We're over 200,000 signatures on the petition. It's at BeHeardProject.com. That's BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org. You can sign it either place. You can also add your name by calling it 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. I'm urging you. I want you to think about that 20-month-old Martin in the jail with his mother. She's in shackles. Think about this American citizen being left behind because they're Christians. Speak out now, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Share this information on Facebook. Get it out on social media. Very important that you do this. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org.
A judge in Sudan has sentenced Miriam Ibrahim to be tortured and executed. Her only crime? Her Christian faith. But the government of Sudan does not recognize her faith. In their eyes, she's a criminal. Miriam is pregnant, and her husband is an American citizen. After she gives birth, Sudan will punish her with 100 lashes, then kill her. Be heard for Miriam. Online at ACLJ.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Well, the UN has now really started addressing this issue of Meriem Ibrahim. They've called a number of the human rights rapporteurs from a variety of different groups. Violence against women, religious freedom, freedom of thought, freedom of conscience, rights of women have now really begun to speak out on this in a bold way, and not so much from our State Department. We're going right to our phones, though, at 1-800-684-3110. Dan, let's go to the phones.
Yeah, first up is Robert calling from New Jersey on line one. Robert, you're on the air.
Hi, Robert.
Thank you, Jay. Jay, I am so outraged over this that I don't know how President Obama even shows his face in public.
Well, look, I mean, it's the here's what you got. This was kind of like the, if you heard the VA press conference yesterday, it's like the president's, you know, absent. And I don't want to make this political because there's Republican and Democratic support for her release. So I'm going to stay away from the politics. But the State Department is institutionally just, you know, Fan, you work with them all the time, but it's institutional. This is just the way they think.
Yeah, when Senate Democrats can come out as hard as they have, when the United Nations can come out as forceful as they did, and when this State Department still refuses to do anything, Jay, it's not politics, it's incompetence. I mean, you know, you played that interview with the State Department spokesman where she said she didn't have details about the 20-month-old citizenship status. Yes, she did. I'm holding in my hands the letter that was sent to them by the senators 5 days ago with those details. It's not politics. It's incompetence.
You're absolutely right. All right, back to the phones we go. Dennis is calling from Nevada on line five. Hi, Dennis.
How you doing?
Good.
I just want to make a comment that I'm not understanding. Really, it's hard for me to fathom this situation being a Christian nowadays. To be quite honest, I'm a filmmaker. I graduated school from MI in Hollywood last year.
Great.
I don't look at effort to give 100% in this case, and whatever I can do to put a light on her case and to let the world know that we are Christians and we're not going to stand by, we're not going to stand down and not help our own people. I refuse to not do nothing for this young lady. And she's a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
It's our U.S. citizen.
Well, let me encourage you to do something here. If you can get creative on video and things like that, get it up on YouTube. I mean, these kind of things really help. Our team's working on it too. Dennis, there's not a lot of photos of it because this thing happened all of a sudden, but there's enough there to create a story. Start telling the story of Meriem Ibrahim. Sydney's calling from California on line six. Hi, Sydney.
Yeah, I think it's indifference more than incompetence. But I call a White House comment line all the time, 1-202-456-1111. And I guarantee you I'm going to call him today.
Well, I think, listen, there's nothing wrong with letting the White House know you're concerned about it. The same thing with the State Department. Fan, explain what's going to happen with these petitions.
Yeah, we're taking them to Congress and to the White House. And actually, I think we've had a lot of headway with the Senate, Jay. We've seen a lot of Republican and Democratic response. Let me just quickly respond to that last caller, though. I would only push back on the indifference versus incompetence point by saying this. We told the State Department and the White House that the only way they were going to engage effectively for Saeed Abedini was to make him a precondition to those nuclear talks. They failed to do that. They did. It wasn't that they were indifferent. It was that they were incompetent. And that is why we're where we're at today.
All right. Well, then, folks, this is the nature of what we've got, and we're going to deal with it. So let me encourage you again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255, 877-989-2255, or ACLJ.org. You can also go to BeHeardProject.com. That's BeHeardProject.com, and you could sign the petition there. Share this information out on Facebook and your social media outlets. That's critical. Our team's working on some other video aspects of this. We've got some television we've produced on it. We're going to get out in the next couple of weeks. But we've got to fight back now, folks. And let me encourage you to do that again. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. We're over 200,000 signatures. I'm estimating with phone calls we're probably at 210,000. I'd love to get this up to 250,000 and keep it growing. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255, 877-989-2255, or ACLJ.org. And folks, it is time for you to speak out on this topic and stand up right here. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255.
Only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird.
It's a disturbing story that's gaining international attention. A judge in Sudan has sentenced Miriam Ebrahim to be tortured and executed. Her only crime? Her Christian faith. Born to a Christian mother and a Muslim father who abandoned her, Miriam was raised Christian. But the government of Sudan does not recognize her faith. In their eyes, she's a criminal. The Sudanese judge gave her 3 days to recant her faith, to reject her Christian beliefs. She refused. Miriam is pregnant, and her husband is an American citizen. After she gives birth, Sudan will punish her with 100 lashes, then kill her. Time is of the essence. The ACLJ is mobilizing its international resources for Miriam. Add your name to the letter that we'll deliver to the government of Sudan. Be heard for Miriam. Online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. As we continue to discuss this outrageous situation in Sudan, we thought it would be a good opportunity to play for you a segment of our documentary that's entitled The Export, The Spread of Radical Islam. This is a special that we put together that includes John Bolton, Oliver North, John Ashcroft, Andrew McCarthy, and other Middle East exports. You can find the entire thing online at aclj.org. But I wanted to kind of give you a flavor of what that documentary is like. So let's go ahead and play this again. This is our documentary called The Export.
We are all for international law. I'm all for international law. In the international world, in the global village, we need international law. We need to contain the bad guys from doing awful things. We all have seen it after the Second World War with the Nuremberg trial. We've seen it in Rwanda. We've seen it in Yugoslavia. There are cases where the international community should interfere and stop cruelties and stop awful things from happening and war crimes. I'm all for it. But when you see a situation like we are in, being attacked by thousands of rockets, they from Hamas, for years after we have left Gaza altogether, and then we defend ourselves in a short war of 2 or 3 weeks, and then we become the war criminals, this is really either ludicrous, or I call it what adjective you want to add here. This is really abuse of law.
I think, you know, if there are any serious lawyers out there, they must know that most of their activities have very little legal merit. But I think what they work on is the idea that where there's smoke, there's fire. It's a unfortunate human characteristic that when we see smoke, we assume there's fire. When Israelis are spoken about in context as being war criminals, when Americans are spoken about as being war criminals, and you attach the two all the time, there doesn't need to be a trial at the end of the day. No judge has to pronounce guilt or innocence at the end of the day. It's out there. There are a lot of people in the world today, who for some reason are getting this message that Israel is now becoming less legitimate. Israel is a rogue state. Why? Simply because they're being accused of war crimes without any real reference to what exactly took place.
It takes a legitimate tool that we are all for in criminal law, international criminal law, international criminal court, that was set by the Rome Convention of 2002, and use it in an ill will for the wrong reasons, and they won't succeed.
Is this part of their warfare? Is this the new
part
of their warfare?
There is another warfare. You can call it soft warfare. It's not less devastating, but it's soft in that you don't always use weapons. You use flotillas. You use women who look wonderful, and all they want to do is to support an organization called Hamas that says Israel will not exist. That's all. That's all they say. But you sometimes use the media. Today, in the world of today, I say to you because you work on television, Every war is fought in two places at the same time, in the battlefield and on the screen. To take, paraphrase Shakespeare, all the words are screen. And you get your information on the screen. If you lose the screen, you may lose the war.
They've, for years, worked well with the international media. And so it's the same basic process. Instead of talking just to a favorite reporter at CNN or something else, what they have to do here is feed material to human rights organizations or to the UN.
So you need to adapt yourself. We need to adapt ourselves to the new world we live in. We can't stop camera from coming in. But you need to put it in perspective that will still explain the just cause you're fighting for. So, yes, they are using this too. They're using the war and the atrocities of war, which always exist. And we should do our best to fight wars in a way that will not only be successful, but will not look ugly. It's very difficult. In every war, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's against the Nazis, whether it's Napoleon against the Russians. Only there was no camera there. You had to wait for Tolstoy to write War and Peace to see what happened in the war. We didn't see it real time.
It's very hard for an American to think of a day where they don't have total control over the country. But I have news for them. It happened to superpowers before. They were taken in from within before, and I don't want to see that in America ever. But I expect in 50, 60 years there's going to be a concentration of Muslims in a certain area of America. They're going to demand Sharia law from the federal government and to self-rule. If this is not approved by the federal government, there will be a secession movement.
To depart from the United States.
To depart from the United States. And this has happened before in history. In India, Pakistan departed from India.
So we have to stand up.
Absolutely. Do we want to have a Chechnya in America? Well, what's Chechnya? It's Muslims who went to live in an area in Russia. They were originally from the area, and they're now holding their allegiance to Saudi Arabia and the Islamic world, and they want to secede from Russia.
So we can't afford, as a country, to just ignore this?
No.
We do it at our own peril?
If we care about remaining the United States that I think we want to remain, we have to pay very close attention to this.
Let me ask you this. I want to take this whole lawfare concept and move it towards Iran. First of all, Iran is a threat right now. You've written a lot about this. You've talked about it. How significant is Iran as a threat today, not just to Israel, but to Western democracy?
I think most people in the West don't understand the Iranian threat. Because, you know, we hear about nuclear weapons. We hear about missiles. And the general tendency is to think, okay, sometime in 2016, the Iranians will be able to launch a single rocket at New York with a nuclear warhead. That's not the issue. The issue is the moment the Iranians have nuclear weapons, you know what happens? They have a nuclear umbrella over their international terrorist capability.
I would say this. Iran foreign policy is based upon two main legs. The first is the attempt to support jihadist proxy groups. I don't know if Khomeini read or did not read Trotsky. Trotsky said, a revolution that does not export itself is doomed to collapse to the inside. And from day one, Khomeini and its followers were trying to export the revolution to other countries. That's one leg. The other leg is the attempt to acquire nuclear military capability. This is the insurance policy of the regime. However, the first leg is used as a bargain chip to threaten Israel and the United States. Do not dare to attack our facilities, our nuclear facilities, because if you do, we would launch a world campaign of terrorism against your targets. And therefore, you should not even dare, even think of launching such an aerial strike. So these two legs are defending each other.
When we talk about the issue of Iran and we talk about what they're doing, what is the goal to what they're engaging in? I mean, if they were to get nuclear weapons, why do they want it? What are they trying to do? What are they trying to spread?
Well, they wanted to become superpower in the world. They want to spread the Shia ideological belief, and they want to see more and more Shia countries in our region.
If Iran does end up with nuclear weapons, what's the end result?
I don't think Iran is subject to classical theories of deterrence. I think it worked through luck.
during the Cold War. It's not a system we should want to live under. And Iran has a very different calculus about the benefits of human life than even the Soviet Union did. But even if I were wrong about our capability to deter Iran, it doesn't stop there. If Iran gets nuclear weapons, Saudi Arabia will, Egypt will, Turkey, perhaps others. So in 5 to 10 years, you could have a multipolar nuclear Middle East with half a dozen countries with nuclear weapons. That is a formula for insecurity.
Are we at the point right now where the threat from Iran has reached its zenith or is getting to that point?
Yes, because this is a sort of a question of science and technology, because Iranian nuclear project is reaching maybe not the point of no return, which is a vague point, but is reaching a point when Iran is getting very, very close to the capability of assembling a first nuclear warhead. And then Israel needs to take a decision whether to strike or not, because once Iran has the warhead, it is too late to strike. You need to do it before. You cannot do unruling for once a country has the nuclear weapon.
For us, it is going to be an existential threat once Iran will have the nuclear, military nuclear capability. Then we will execute our right for self-defense.
Good evening. Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin met with his cabinet in Jerusalem today and proudly showed them a color videotape of the Israeli Air Force raid on the Baghdad nuclear reactor. With most of the world condemning Israel, one of the Prime Minister's aides said Begin was putting on quite a show.
Despite all the condemnations which were heaped on Israel for the last 24 hours, Israel has nothing to apologize for.
Again, folks, that was a segment from our documentary called The Export, The Spread of Radical Islam. You can find the entire thing online at aclj.org. But, folks, as we go to a break today, I need you to stand with Miriam Ibrahim. This is this Sudanese Christian woman with an 18-month-old son. That 18-month-old son, by the way, is a U.S. citizen, and he is in prison with her. She is 8 months pregnant with her next child, and in a perverted sense of morality, they are going to, quote-unquote, show mercy by allowing her to have the child before torturing her with 100 lashes and then executing her by hanging. Her crime? She is a Christian. Folks, it is time for us to stand up for Miriam Ibrahim. If you want to stand with us, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org or beheardproject.com. As we go to a break, again, the phone number 877-989-2255.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
It's a disturbing story that's gaining international attention. A judge in Sudan has sentenced Miriam Ibrahim to be tortured and executed. Her only crime? Her Christian faith. Born to a Christian mother and a Muslim father who abandoned her, Miriam was raised Christian. But the government of Sudan does not recognize her faith. In their eyes, she's a criminal. The Sudanese judge gave her 3 days to recant her faith, to reject her Christian beliefs. She refused. Miriam is pregnant, and her husband is an American citizen. After she gives birth, Sudan will punish her with 100 lashes, then kill her. Time is of the essence. The ACLJ is mobilizing its international resources for Miriam. Add your name to the letter that we'll deliver to the government of Sudan. Be Heard for Miriam. Online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.
everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, I want to get you updated on the case of Saeed Abedini. We will move back to the case of Miriam Ibrahim in just a moment, but there have been significant developments in Pastor Saeed's case. If you have not heard them, I wanted to get you up to speed. Unfortunately, they are not great developments. He has been moved from the hospital back to Rajay Shah prison. He was moved violently, folks, and there's reason for us to believe that there is at least some motivation stemming to the Iran nuclear deals with the United States. This is, of course, something that we were concerned about from the very beginning. That is why our call had been for the United States not to engage in this negotiation unless Iran first met the very basic standard of releasing the wrongfully held prisoner, Saeed Abedini. They, of course, did not do that. And the fact that we find ourselves in this situation where he may be used as a pawn in these deals, folks, I think that was inevitable. We told the State Department it was inevitable. They did not demand that up front. They engaged in these talks, and that is why we find ourselves in a situation where Saeed Abedini has been thrown back in prison and removed from the hospital where he was receiving at least some semblance of care. Folks, I wanted you to hear this update directly from Jay, directly from Jordan, and directly from Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagmeh, as well. Jay and Nagmeh were on Fox just a few minutes ago giving the Fox viewers an update, and Jordan was on CBN last night updating their viewers on what has happened. Let's take a listen to both of those interviews.
Jay Sekulow is the chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice. Jay's been trying to bring this man home, and Nagmeh's been, well, she's been with us from time to time over the past year, you know, updating us on the plight of her husband. He was in the hospital because he has a serious medical condition. So why was he taken back to this jail, and what are your family members telling you?
Well, we were hoping that him being in the hospital was a step closer to his release, but unfortunately his family was with him when there was at least 50 guards in the hospital. There was more outside and van taking him and brutally taking him, beating him, throwing him in the elevator, electrifying him. He collapsed and they took him back to Rajay Shah Hospital. They were very worried about his health. He is all bruised up, hurt, and it's even worse. His condition is even worse than when he went to the hospital a few months ago.
What help are you getting from the administration to bring your husband home?
You know, when I heard the news, it was a harder blow than the first time. The first time his family didn't see him beat up. He got beat up once he was taken to prison, but it was a harder blow. And my first thought was 2 years of just talking about it, talking to our administration, talking to our Congress, different governments around the world. And it's been 2 years, and there doesn't seem to be any positive movement, at least. And just not, you know, it's hard. What's next? I don't know. I've had a lot of support. Thousands of people have been messaging me. They've been calling their government officials in their state. They've really surrounded me with their love, their prayers, their support, and doing what they can. But, you know, ultimately, it's a hard place to be at for me and his family. We don't know what's next. And it's hard to see anything positive coming. Moving forward. But my trust is in God, and I know God is in control, and He will deliver my husband, and that's what's keeping me going and giving me hope.
I apologize for the interruption. What is the incentive for Iran's government to keep your husband?
Sure, Bill. I think part of this
a
conversation came up during when he was being removed about the Iranian nuclear talks. I hate to think that Saeed has become a pawn in the political process and debates going on with regard to the P5+1. But, you know, that may be the case. It's hard to believe that an American citizen is still in jail 2 years now when we're sitting down with the Iranians on a regular basis discussing the nuclear program, and we just can't get this American freed. It's hard to understand this step back. I was optimistic, frankly, Bill, and we were on your broadcast talking about it. When Saeed was moved from the prison to the hospital, we thought that was the logical confidence-building measure that governments engage in when you're about to see a release. I mean, they get him to the hospital, get him healthy, then there's a release. This was a significant setback yesterday. We don't lose hope. We're pressing the State Department to continue the pressure. But frankly, and Bill, I've been in conversations late yesterday evening and early this morning from people around the globe. The key to keeping Saeed Abedini alive is that they're still, and it's because of what you all are doing, a large part at Fox, keeping this story out there is keeping him alive. Now, doesn't mean he's not going to get beaten, and he did, and I hate having to say that with Nagme on the set there, but the reality is, the more we talk about it, the better chance that he will again be free. We're not going to give up. We had that situation with Youssef Nardakhani. He was in jail for a couple of years. He was sentenced to death again in Iran, and ended up one day they just freed him, and I'm praying that that happens, and we're working hard for that result.
Let's hope, indeed. Nagme, thank you for your time, and Jay, thanks for coming back as well. Nasty delay in that satellite.
Thanks, Bill.
Our apologies to both of you on that. He turned 34 2 weeks ago today. Let's get him home. Thank you, Nagme, and thank you, Jay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Jordan Sekulow from the American Center for Law and Justice joins us now with more. Jordan, how is Pastor Saeed's family handling the latest news?
You know, honestly, Mark, this is a situation, and Nagme Abedini, Pastor Saeed's wife, has been very honest, and she said, you know, it's not good. This was a situation, people may have noticed, we have not talked about Saeed publicly because he was going on almost 3 months being in a private hospital under guard, but in a much better situation than being in prison. And we didn't want to do anything that would undermine that or somehow it make him end up in prison because of being too harsh in the media or being too strong in the media, letting things kind of play out a bit. And now all of a sudden, and really out of nowhere, the hospital was stormed, and Saeed ends up now back in Rajashahr prison, very tough on the family.
Well, what is the biggest concern for Pastor Saeed while he's in jail?
Nagme said, you know, after speaking with the family and seeing the amount of guards and how heavily armed they were, the brutality, and I do want to underscore that, this was a brutal arrest. It was not just, this is someone in a hospital. If they wanted to just take him back to prison, they could have done so without, he collapsed during this. This was a real beating that occurred in front of lots of people, in front of hospital staff, in front of Saeed's family that's in Iran. And so this is a situation, again, extremely brutal. His physical condition, not good. In fact, as Nagme explained after talking to the family, Saeed was back in the prison, that he was back up, that he was awake and alive. But then he felt like all of those medical conditions that were improving suddenly were rushing back. So, again, a very negative and unfortunate situation.
Is the American government doing enough, Jordan, to try and free the pastor?
Well, this is interesting because it's one of those situations where we may need the United States government now more than ever. And I say that because one of the guards, Mark, when asked, mentioned the nuclear talks. Now, Saeed, of course, being an American citizen, if that is the case, then he has become what the United States has tried so hard, the government has tried so hard not to do, which is to make him into a pawn. We believe that he's been a pawn the entire time, that you can't really separate this issue in the eyes of the Iranian government, that if they've got an American in custody, they're going to use that, including at the nuclear talks. If that's the case, then he's got to be taken off the margins or the sidelines of the talks, and he's got to be a focus. And we have this unprecedented time, even though those talks may not be going great, where the United States is sitting down with Iran. They need to speak up and realize that, you know, the guards were saying this. These are not generals. These are guards who even are tying Saeed to the nuclear talk.
Wow. Well, Jordan Sekulow with the ACLJ, thank you so much for your insights, and thank you for staying on top of this, sir.
Thanks, Mark. I want to thank CBN for covering it and just ask people to keep praying.
Again, folks, that was Jay and Nagme on Fox News and Jordan on CBN. Listen, if you want to take a stand for Pastor Saeed or for Miriam Ibrahim, you can sign the petition for both of their releases online at BeHeardProject.com. You can also sign them by calling 877-989-2255. But, folks, the best way to take a stand for both Saeed and Miriam is to go online at BeHeardProject.com. Stand for their freedom.
A judge in Sudan has sentenced Miriam Ibrahim to be tortured and executed. Her only crime? Her Christian faith. But the government of Sudan does not recognize her faith. In their eyes, she's a criminal. Miriam is pregnant, and her husband is an American citizen. After she gives birth, Sudan will punish her with 100 lashes, then kill her. Be heard for Miriam. Online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.